Lord, I just thank you that you're calling us deeper. Lord, even as we just feel that tug and that nudge on our hearts this morning, Lord, we want to respond fully. We want to respond in obedience. We want to respond in intimacy. We want to respond, Lord, just taking a step toward you. A step of just meeting you, God. A step of just our hearts being intertwined with your heart. Lord, if there are things in our lives right now that just need to be gotten out because they're standing between you and I in greater intimacy, God, reveal those things and help us to deal quickly with those things. That, Lord, we might have unfettered intimacy with you. That we might be able to come into your presence, hear your voice, sense your peace. Go into those deeper places with you, Lord, where there is absolute joy, peace, and goodness. God, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for your holiness. Holy, your holiness. Lord, we cry out just like those angels cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lord, just be praised today. Be glorified today. Move and work in and through your people today. Have your way. In Jesus' name.
Father, we love you, Lord. Just feel like that, you know, the word says if we will draw clear, we will draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. And, you know, God is so good. I have to tell you, I think that, you know, the prodigal son's father who went out and was watching for the son, I really believe he ran when he saw him. I believe that's the heart of God. I think that wherever your desire is for the Lord, I think he'll run and meet you in that place. It doesn't have to look like somebody else's. It's just as you turn, as we turn to him, he is so responsive to us in a spirit of love. He just loves us. And I think that's where the change happens. I really do. I think it's the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. It's the kindness of God. And I believe he does want to do a deeper work in us. I think there's areas in our lives, all of us, that we deal with pride and we deal with anger and we deal with unforgiveness and we deal with all those things. And I think that God wants to set us free in new levels, the new places. They're hard places. And I think as we come to the Lord, just come to him. Just come to him. I think he runs to meet us and he transforms us. It's through those times of spending with him, not in hiding. See, many times we want to hide, and I know I understand that. But it is in the vulnerability. It is in the honesty. It is in the repentance that we are changed. So, Father, we love you this morning. We thank you, God, that you are here. You are here to meet with us. You are here to love us. You are here to change us. You are here to heal us. I just pray, God, that you would do a deeper work in us. We need you. It is not by our own knowledge, our own wisdom, our own strength that we can change ourselves. It is by your presence. It is in your presence. It's in your presence. There's nowhere else. It's always in your presence, face to face, where you ask us, what do you want me to do for you? And I think God is asking you that this morning. What do you want me to do for you? Father, we want you. We want you. We want you. We want to be whole. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. Let our worship be true. Let us not praise you with our lips, but let our hearts be far from you. See, we don't want to be that, God. We want to praise you with our hearts. That's what we want. We want you. We want you, God. Deep change. Wow. walking in unity, walking in forgiveness, walking in true love, loving you, loving others. We can't do it in our own self. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you say amen this morning? Can you give the Lord praise this morning? He's good. Amen. Wow, what a tender time together this morning. You may be seated. Welcome to New Song. We're happy that you're here this morning. My name is Pastor Jeff Lamont. This is my wonderful wife, Tracy.
Good morning.
And we're excited to see each and every one of you here today. It's so tough, you know, at times to be pastoring in this season. You know, we created two services to give us the opportunity to more physically distance, and sometimes it's just so hard seeing people so far apart. You want us, you know, this is a family, and you want to feel like a family. In fact, my next slide is just welcome home. You belong here. Mm-hmm. There's okay. Some that, quite a few, in fact, who haven't been able to come back yet. Yeah. I think they say about a third of the people have come back on average to church at this point, and it's just tough. It's just tough. And but I just want you to know, those of you who are watching and viewing, and those of you who are here in the room, we're here for you, and we're happy you're a part of this family, and we want to walk with you and help you in every way possible. I have a pretty good list this morning of folks that I want us just to take a moment and pray over. Mm-hmm. They've been walking through some really tough times through this season. Ben and his family just experienced a couple of great losses, and our hearts go out to them, and we love them, and just praying for real comfort. Our brother James, some of you don't know this, but he's had 4 blood transfusions, mm-hmm. and still fairly weak and just needs the strengthening and touch of the Lord. My dear friend Chad's getting ready in about a week to go in, and after having several months recovered from an open heart surgery, they're going to have to open his chest back up for it to heal correctly, and my heart just goes out to him having to go through that. Mm-hmm. Praying for you, Chad. My dear friend Doug is down in Atlanta right now, walking with his mom. Yeah. She looks like she may be passing away any day, and mm-hmm. Doug's been praying faithfully for that opportunity to just share Christ with her. And we're praying with you, Doug, on that, and walking with you. My dear friend Bill's just had all kinds of physical challenges, and just praying for you, Bill. We miss you very much. So would you just join me, Father? I just pray right now. I'm so thankful for the power of prayer. I'm just reminded that there is nothing that can't be touched and brought into being through the power of prayer. There's nothing that cannot be touched or brought into being through that power of prayer, Lord. Your word says that with faith, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. We are so thankful for the power of prayer, that there's no distance in prayer, that even as we pray right now for those who may not be able to join us physically but are watching and praying along with us, we just pray your touch on Ben, your touch on James, your touch on Chad, your touch on Doug, your touch on Doug's mom, your touch on Bill, and each one, Lord, right now that's going through a difficult time. Pour your love out on them, Lord, and meet them powerfully in Jesus' name. And God, continue to build and grow this family of faith for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. What's on your heart this morning, sweetheart?
I really believe that the Lord is moving. I do. I think during a time where people are paralyzed with fear, I believe that God is moving. God never is paralyzed. God never is stuck. He never is stuck. So he always has a plan. Mm-hmm. He does. He has a plan for this season. Mm-hmm. And we have to really lean in and listen.
Right.
You know, he still wants to save people. He still wants to heal, and he still wants to deliver.
Right.
So what does that look like in this season, and how do we walk with him through this?
Right.
So, you know, I don't like the pandemic. Nobody does. I don't like masks. But you know what? God is not masked, but he can use us even when we're masked.
That's right.
We still need to love people, you know
what?
So, yeah, that's what's on my heart.
Okay, thank you, honey. That's
I have
good.
A lot more, but we'll be quiet.
Well, we're really excited. We would ask for your prayers, for each of you to pray for us this week. We're going to something very, very special that, quite honestly, you mentioned this week, and I thought it was really powerful. Some things got changed around in our schedule because of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And then this opportunity came. It's something that you and I had been praying about and looking at for probably the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it's like it kind of just really, the door opened. And this week, Tracy and I'll be going to Georgia for a spiritual formation class. Mm-hmm. That we're really excited about. It's about thriving in your walk with Jesus. And we need that. And we want to receive that fully.
That's right.
So that we can pour that more deeply out on you and share that with more and more folks. And we're beginning the process. And this is pretty exciting. A lot of people they're not familiar with this term. But we're beginning the process, you and I both, to become what is called spiritual directors. And we're excited about that, very excited. And basically, somebody asked me, what's a spiritual director? It's somebody who kind of coaches or encourages others to go deeper in their walk with Jesus. And we need that, we want that, and we can't wait to share that. So pray for us this week, please, as we're going through that. Well, we can't receive a normal offering, but you can give through your phone, through your computer. You can actually drop a offering in the buckets as you leave. Always want to remind us to give, not only to meet the needs of the church, the tithe goes to the church to meet the needs here and to reach out to our neighborhood, but we also give above and beyond that into what we call the Harvest Project. Mm-hmm. Our goal this year is $45,000. I think we're over $41,000 right now. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Here's some of the ministries that we support and partner with. Some are here in our city. Some are around the world, some amazing ministries. Mm-hmm. Thinking about the Gem Foundation in Africa and the fact that they just, I saw just the other day, their medical clinic is opening for the kids. 47 special needs kids there in Uganda that are being
that
loved on
growing.
And cared for.
That's
it's
wonderful.
Just really exciting what's happening there. And then here's our missionaries all over the world, some amazing, amazing people. Just so many. In fact, I see one over there on the far left, Doug Easterday, who's going to be here in 2 weeks for the first time in quite a while sharing with us. You don't want to miss that. Doug is just an amazing teacher of God's Word. Mm-hmm. Right beside him, Mary Bennett, amazing lady in Line Fork, Kentucky, loving on kids and raising them up to know the Lord. She is just a treasure. So we want to pray today over our tithes and offerings. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. It always is an opportunity, Lord, for us to really align our hearts with you. So bless the gift and giver, and God, meet the needs and meet our missionaries and encourage these ministries, and may more and more people find you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, tell us about this, honey.
All right, tomorrow it's happening. It's our arts and crafts. We are having a fall arts and crafts. It will be here tomorrow from 10 until 12:30. So we'll be setting this place up right after church. This event is to help raise for the Women of the Well. And Summer Dickerson is the one who is in charge of that.
That's a part of our Harvest Project.
It is, yes. Yeah. So we're really excited. I know that Mona Hoyle is in charge of that. Her and her ladies went out, I think in... They gave out 400 flyers and all around these neighborhoods.
I think more than that.
So we're really excited. This place is going to be full. And listen, if you need Christmas gifts, you need to come. Because there are going to be some great Christmas gifts here. I don't know if you all know or not, but Mona is a potter. She does wonderful pottery.
That's
it's
right.
Beautiful.
Yep.
And so if you're interested in that, it's local. She does a great job. So
yep. Amen.
Yeah.
Youth Fall Night coming up. That's October 24th. See Janine Harper for more details on that. Wednesday night, we've got our great small group here, a big one. It's really going to be good this week. Pastor Burt's going to be talking about the cycle of addiction, and you're going to want to come and learn some things there.
Yeah.
6 o'clock meal, 6:30 small group starts, and then we break into discussions. We keep all kinds of safety protocol in mind. So And then Nightlight's coming up, and you want to be a part of that. It's going to be different this year, drive-through, but still we're going to be touching our community with the love of God.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, honey, very much. Give my wife a good hand and thank her for being a part today. I want to continue. In fact, I want to conclude a series of messages I've done over the last couple of weeks called The Heart of the Shepherd. As I was praying today and just getting ready to come and stand before you, I just have such a deep, deep sense and longing in my own heart that you would know him as a shepherd to your heart. As I came and just kneeling down over here and in my mind just reciting Psalm 23, just reciting it in my mind over and over. It is such a powerful psalm. I don't know whether you have it memorized or not, but if you don't, I would so strongly encourage you to. I find that when we memorize scripture, it just becomes so much more real to us. And then when we're in those moments of need in our life, and we all find ourselves there at some time, when you can pull that scripture up out of your heart and just begin to process through it and quote it. And I like to quote it and kind of stop and just kind of hang out for a little bit. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have any needs. He leads me beside those still waters, into those green pastures, and just envisioning it in my heart and my mind and just letting the Lord become that, make that so real to me. And I just want that so much for each and every one of you. Hey, I thought we'd start with a little bit of fun here today. I always like to have a little bit of a laugh if we can along the way. I kind of ran out of sheep jokes, so I thought I'd show you a few sheep memes today. How about that, all right? So my shepherd fell asleep. He started counting. I don't know what happened. But you know the old adage, if you can't sleep, count those sheep, right? And, this whole selfie thing has just gotten way out of hand. It's even reached the sheep herd. Hanging with my farm fam. Selfie. I don't know how that happened exactly, but so here we go. What's better than one baa? Two baas. Two baas. Of course. Of course. So check this out. Let's go, noble steed, to those who need sweaters. Yes, I like that. That little dog, he's got him a comfy spot there, doesn't he? And then this last one, this one's pretty cool, right? You know, we got to be armed and ready, right? In these days, a wolf's worst nightmare, biblically fed sheep. Biblically fed. He is armed and ready for whatever comes his way. Amen. Let's read this, the 23rd Psalm together. And this might be in a little different version than what you're familiar with. But read along with me if you would. It's right there and hopefully everybody can see it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, our first message in this series, we talked about the fact that the Lord brings relationship, he brings resource, rest, and then restoration to our very souls. Last week we talked about the fact we don't have to be afraid. Regardless of where we are, what we're walking through, what the circumstance or situation is, because God is near. And I want to kind of follow up and do something I've done over the last couple of weeks, give you just a little bit of insight about sheep. Because sheep are very unique and interesting creatures, and God compares you and I to sheep. So what? Why would he do that? What is it about a sheep that makes God want to compare you and I to sheep? He calls himself the shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. and that you and I are his sheep. We listen to his voice. We follow him. Let me give you some thoughts about sheep this morning. And these are new each week, right? So sheep are not meant to carry burdens. You have never seen a pack sheep, have you? They're not meant to carry burdens. They don't carry heavy weights on their backs. Other animals are good for carrying things, but not sheep. Sheep were never meant to carry a heavy load. In fact, they would literally be crushed under a weighty burden. This is why, I believe, one of the many reasons God compares us to sheep. We're not meant to carry our burdens. We're literally meant to take and put those burdens on the Lord himself through prayer. That's a powerful blessing and opportunity we have. Now, here's something very concerning about sheep, but once again, very metaphorical for you and I, and that is that sheep will settle for less. Sheep will settle for less. When sheep are thirsty, they will literally stop at a dirty puddle right in front of them instead of going a little farther for the clean, still waters 20 feet ahead. Sadly, they're content with filth so long as it satisfies their thirst at the moment. Furthermore, they'll stink. They'll never even know it. Truthfully, they lack discernment and judgment. And frankly, at times, they don't know what's good for them. I find that we're not a whole lot different. Many times we see a dirty puddle of sin right in front of us and we go straight for it because we think that's all there is in life and we think we're satiated when in reality we're poisoned and we stink, right? So keep that in mind, you wonderful sheep out there. Sheep are valuable. Sheep were treated as a prized possession in Jesus' day. You were counted a wealthy man if you owned large flocks of sheep because they provided meat, milk, and wool, and they produced offspring. Shepherds made many sacrifices to make sure their flocks were protected. They knew it was their livelihood at stake. How much more precious are you in God's sight than a sheep? Think about that. Number eight, sheep cannot care for themselves when they're wounded. When sheep get a wound or a bite, they literally don't have the ability to care for themselves like other animals would. Other animals would lick a wound until it heals, but not sheep. They need a shepherd to tend to their injuries. Many times there would be a salve that would be needed to be put on their leg or possibly a binding of the wounds, and a good shepherd would always look out for and care for the sheep until it was completely healed. Same way with us, isn't it? Often we're brokenhearted. We so need his healing. God compares us to sheep, and there's a reason why. And then lastly, and this one's powerful, sheep are innocent. In the Bible, sheep represent purity and innocence. It was the lamb that was sacrificed at Passover because it represented the Lamb of God, who was flawless, pure, and holy. And the Bible says we're to be as innocent as lambs, pure and righteous, not goats who are independent, strong-willed, and destructive, but lambs who are innocent, pure, and righteous. So would you pray with me this morning? Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. As we dig deep into your word, we find so many things that enlighten our hearts, that draw us closer, that make us hungry and thirsty to know you deeper. Lord, speak to us today through your living word in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord is a shepherd. I love this picture. I've showed you one each week of a different shepherd leading his sheep. I found this one really interesting. All the sheep are kind of lined up. We can't even tell how deep the herd is, but the shepherd has his little stick. He's keeping them in line and he's leading them forward. I've told you about a cast down sheep. Here's another cast down sheep. Here's his buddy looking on going, man, I don't know what in the world to do for George over there. I mean, I don't know what am I going to do? George is really struggling there. And literally the shepherd would have to come and set him back up, okay? So we're like sheep, just as I've told you. Here we are. This is you and I. We're just like sheep, okay? And we desperately need the shepherd. And by the way, one of the things the shepherd does is he guides. He wants to guide us into a future that's bright, that's clear, that's full of good things for us. He absolutely does. And, you know, here's the challenge of this day and time we're living in. It's always been a challenge, but it just feels so much more intense in these days. We don't know what the future holds. We really don't. Back in January of 2020, people were talking about 2020 vision. The problem was nobody had it. Nobody could see what was actually getting ready to happen in the days ahead, right? But here's the thing. We don't know what the future holds, but we certainly can know the one who holds the future. And he is the good shepherd. And he wants to guide us, just like I showed you the shepherd there a minute ago, into the right places. He doesn't want us to get out of line or move away from the flock. He wants us to stay together. And that's so important. I can't wait till all of us can come back together and worship together. What a celebration that's going to be. And aren't you glad, quite honestly, that you don't know all that the future holds? Can you imagine if you knew everything that lies ahead? Can you imagine what it would be like at night trying to go to sleep with your mind just thinking through all the things that you knew were going to happen? You probably would never get any sleep. You'd probably sit there on pins and needles, anxious, nervous. But God's our shepherd and he's our guide and we can trust him every step along the way. He wants us to trust him wholeheartedly. He wants us to know he's with us. He knows where we are. He knows who we are and he knows exactly what we need. Listen to this, and maybe this will blow you away because maybe you haven't thought of it like this, but God knows details about you that you don't even care about, quite honestly. He does. He knows details about you that you don't sit around worrying about. You don't sit around concerned about. He knows, the Bible says he knows the number of every single hair on your head. Now, some of you may care about that more than others, but most of you don't think much about that. You don't sit around thinking, I wonder how many hairs there are actually on my head. God knows the details about you that you don't even know about yourself. I just want to encourage you, if you haven't memorized Psalm 23, what a good thing that would be. And as we close the series today, there's a little saying that's kind of fun, and I don't ever want to wear it out by using it too much, and I think we can do that sometimes. And all the time, God is good. Amen. And I want to show you that again today as we close out Psalm 23. Verses 5 and 6 is our focus today. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Three aspects this morning of God's goodness. The first is simply this. God is good in the midst of trouble. God is good in the midst of a pandemic. God is good in the midst of racial tensions. God is good in the midst of a highly partisan political season. God is good with whatever else you can make up or whatever else is around the corner. I don't know. Whatever tomorrow holds. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Absolutely. In the midst of the struggle, God is good. In the midst of the loss, God is good. In the midst of confusion, God is good. I just want that to settle in your heart this morning. You know, sometimes you know, think about it. You're out in beautiful stream. You know, we talked about God leading us beside those really pristine waters. And my wife, she said it the other day, you give me the opportunity to go sit somewhere, I'll always sit by water. And a lot of you feel that way. You'll sit by a lake or by the ocean or by a stream or... And, you know, if you were to go and you were to take a cup and you were to dip that cup down into that stream, when you came up, and if the cup was see-through, probably initially the water is going to be a little cloudy and a little silty. But an amazing thing happens if you sit that down and just leave it sit there for a couple of minutes. Everything begins to settle. And all the little bit of material that's in that water begins to settle at the bottom. And suddenly you begin to see that the water itself's quite clear. And I just want this concept of the shepherd and his goodness to you to just settle like that water in your heart this morning. See, the enemy, we have an enemy, we absolutely do, and he's always working to get us to doubt what God says so that we'll doubt his goodness toward us. That's really his end goal always. That's what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden, and the enemy's been playing that same hand ever since. He really would love for you to see God as unfair, as uncaring, as unconcerned about your life. And let me just say to you this morning, nothing could be further from the truth. Just let the goodness of God. This is one of those things that I've mentioned this to you, and hopefully I get it all right this morning. God loves you unconditionally. God is good despite whatever circumstances you might be experiencing. And God is still at work. Those three things you can hang your hat on, folks, and you can build your faith on. Keep those three things clear in your heart and your mind. God's good all the time. Now, this is an interesting scripture, right? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I want you to notice a few things. God's preparing a banquet. That's what he's referring to. In that Middle Eastern culture, preparing a table meant preparing a sumptuous banquet. I mean, just think about it. I don't know what you like to eat. I don't know what, you know, if you could have a table full of food, and we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and hopefully a lot of us will. I hear some people are going to have virtual Thanksgivings. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound near as good to me. I don't think you can smell the turkey through the phone. I don't think they've created that yet. I don't want a virtual one. I want a real one, don't you, Joe? I want to be able to pull that wishbone. I want to be able to dig into that turkey. I want seconds of those mashed potatoes and gravy. Amen? That's good stuff right there from the hand of God. This is talking about preparing a banquet. If you want to honor someone in Middle Eastern culture, one of the things you just do, because it's part of the culture, is you give them a banquet. You lay out a feast for them of all the richest and best foods that you have available. Let me give you an example of it in Scripture. In Genesis 18, it says, and the Lord appeared to him, this is talking about Abraham, the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran out the tent door to meet them, bowed himself to the earth, and said, O Lord. He recognizes one of them as the Lord himself. This is an epiphany, right? This is Christ showing himself in the Old Testament. Oh Lord, if I found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel. Now I'm going to show you here in a moment. When I think of a morsel, I think of just a little tidbit. But it's a whole lot more than just a morsel, believe me. When I bring a morsel of bread, you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you've come to your servant. So they said, do as you've said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, Sarah, get three seahs of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he'd prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. He's preparing a banquet for these three visitors, and one is, this is an angelic visitation that he's having that is just affirming the work that God's doing in Abraham's life. Listen, a say. When he says, go, get three seahs of fine flour, a seah is about 15 to 22 quarts. So that's 45 to 66 quarts of flour. He's making a banquet, not just a morsel. He's slaughtering the fatted calf. He's getting the curds and milk, the best of everything he has, and he's preparing a table for them to feast. And can I just say this to you? God's more generous than Abraham. God's more generous than this righteous man who wanted to lay out the best for his visitors. And then it says, you anoint me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, this anointing was also a courtesy. In that day and time, you know, There were challenges, right? It's a Middle Eastern culture. It's hot. People are sweaty. There's body odor. There's not, the availability of perfume and colognes and sprays and all these things we have today. Anointing was a courtesy. It was part of the kindness of being a host and having guests. It would be literally the pouring of myrrh on their head so that their heads would literally glow and that person would smell nice and feel covered in a sense as they sat down with their friends to have a feast together close around the table. It was a costly act, but it was a loving act. It was a part of the hospitality of Middle Eastern culture. When Jesus went to the Pharisee's house, you might remember in that story, he says to him, "You didn't even anoint me when I came in." And it was a slight. It was dishonoring. You honored your guests by anointing their head. So think about what's happening here. He gives a banquet. He anoints our head with oil. Then it says our cup overflows. What does that represent? It represents the wine that's brought out to the feast. The best of the wine. It's a celebration. In other words, this is a happy and a festive occasion and an honoring situation. What's the psalmist saying? Listen, he's saying when we walk through life, as we walk through life, God's rolling out a banquet before us. He's providing liberally all that we need. He's anointing us. And by the way, that can also signify the anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's pouring out the best wine. Wine's also a representation of the Spirit. Our cups are overflowing. Wow, you know what this is? It's a picture of abundance and blessing. Abundance and blessing. Now, what about the part in the presence of our enemies? I mean, that kind of throws me a little bit. I've wondered about that over the years. I mean, shouldn't we be looking for a battle? Shouldn't we be engaged in a fight? Well, let me tell you what I think it truly means. It means this, that there will be times that are challenging in life where we may have to fight and battle. But even in those times, that should not keep us from experiencing the goodness and the abundance and the celebration that we have in God. Even in the midst of the challenges, God wants to show his goodness to you. Even in the midst of the conflict that may be going on, the spiritual warfare that may come your way where you have to stand up in Jesus' name and resist, God still wants to pour out his abundance and his blessing on you. We can still feast. Our cup can still overflow. In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this crazy world we're living in, we can still feast. We can still have an overflowing cup, even in difficult times. There's still joy. There's still provision. There's still anointing from God. You see this reflected in Paul's life in the New Testament, where he's in a Roman prison. And he may well be drawing from Psalm 23 as he sings to God in the midst of his shackles. As he praises God for his confinement. God's good even in the midst of trouble. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. Amen? Number two, God's good in the midst of our failures. How many times have I failed along the way? Wow, too many to count for sure. I'm sure you might feel the same way. When I was a young Christian, I used to battle with that whole thing of, God, how many times are you going to listen to me repent over this same thing again and again? Found myself, I was in a church where I had the freedom and opportunity to go to the altar. Man, I was beelining to the altar almost every service. There he goes again, that Jeff. He's messed up. That's one messed up dude right there. But God kept forgiving me. And God kept healing me. And God kept restoring me. And God kept helping me become who he wanted me to be. He wanted me to be trapped in my cycle of sin and my addiction and my problems. He wanted me to be free in him so I could help others find that freedom in him. And then Psalm 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. I love this. He's a God who is good, and he's a God who does good things. Look at this promise, Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and you do good. Man, isn't that cool? Jesus is the good shepherd, and he does good for people all the time. I love that, goodness and mercy. Mercy, by the way, did you know is the number one attribute of God mentioned in Scripture? In the Hebrew, it's the word hesed, and it literally means loving kindness. His mercy, his loving kindness, it can be translated abundant kindness or unfailing kindness. Of him, he says, the Lord merciful, merciful, full of loving kindness. Our God is a good God. And let me just remind you, when you fail, he's kind. It's his kindness that leads you and I to repentance. Not his harshness, not his judgment. Want to hear a wacky theology? Here's a wacky theology that God just turns away from you, turns his heart from you when you fail. No, he doesn't. His loving kindness does not fail. He's always kind. Even before you got saved, even before you knew him, even before you invited him into your life, when you were living in full-on rebellion against him, he was kind to you. He won't abandon you ever, ever, ever. And number three, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many days? All the days. Think he'll be with you tomorrow? Absolutely. How about next week? Absolutely. All the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love this picture of goodness and mercy, you know, kind of like sheepdogs following you around. You know, we've got two dogs now. We've got Odie and Sam. And my wife may well be, we haven't got one of those DNA kits yet to figure this out, but we think she might be kin to the dog whisperer. Because Odie and Sam follow her around everywhere she goes, kind of like goodness and mercy. You know, I think I'll call them that. I call them other things, not near as nice as goodness and mercy at times. But they follow her around, almost like nipping at her heels, everywhere she goes. And then she finally, at the end of the day, goes to sit down on the couch just to relax. And she's got two dogs piled on top of her. I'm looking over going, honey, how do you do it? I don't know how you do it, how you put up with it. And then one will try to, you know, squeeze the other one off. And then the other one will try to squeeze back on. And oh, it's crazy. Goodness and mercy. Pursuing you all the time, following you around everywhere you go, waiting to get in your lap when you sit down. God's good all the time. And somebody might say, as we close today, well, why don't I feel that way? Why don't I feel that way? Well, let me just ask you this question. Where are you putting yourself in relation to the Lord? Because he closes the powerful psalm with these words, and I shall dwell or abide or stay in the house of the Lord forever. Let me just end by asking this question. Are you dwelling in his presence? Are you abiding in his presence? Are you choosing day in and day out to stay close to the shepherd? We just have to dwell. That's it, really. I mean, God's got the rest, folks. You and I, our part is to dwell, stay close, abide in his presence. And by the way, it says in the house of the Lord, and those who haven't been able to come back, I understand. But we're looking forward to the day you do. There's those that haven't been a part of church. You need to come. You need to be in God's presence and in the presence of God's people. It's how God designed us, and it's how we actually flourish in our walk with God. God's in favor of you going to church, folks. When you can come, please come. Be in God's presence with God's people. It's incredibly important. But dwell in his presence. Because that's where all these good things come. Amen? He's the good shepherd. and he wants to care for you. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me today? Father, I just thank you for this time together. I pray you'd minister to every heart. You'd remind every heart here that you're the good shepherd that wants to care for them. And Lord, if there's anyone watching or anyone here in the room today that hasn't received you as that good shepherd in their heart and their life, I just want to give you a chance right where you are. Cry out to him and say, "Dear God, I need you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and where I failed. And be my shepherd. Show me how to live this life. Show me how to live for you. Please, in Jesus' name." If you prayed that, God heard you and he'll help you. And please let one of us know. We want to walk with you in this journey. For the rest of us, Lord, shepherd our hearts in you in these days ahead. Guide us and direct us into those green pastures and beside those still waters. And may we find our rest and our restoration in you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise this morning? Go ahead and stand. Let's give him praise. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. Lord, go with us. Let your face shine upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen.